coincidentally, I also have a research project at the moment to look at control of arms in octopus. So I've just recently got funded, in this case from the Navy, to investigate this sort of thing. And the reason the Navy are interested in, because, you know, they'd love to have a ROV that was a bit like an octopus that could go and rescue people or do different missions. But we have no idea about, like, how the octopus motor control system works. So they have a brain, but more than half of the neurons in the animal are outside of the brain. They have large ganglia, which are sort of a conglomeration of neurons, at the base of each arm. And then the whole arm is basically like our nerve cord. It's a whole bunch of ganglia fused together along the length of the arm. And then they have another small ganglia bunch of neurons for each sucker. So there's all of these sort of grouping together of neurons at different points across the body. And so, you know, this is why octopus are the sort of example of this embodiment of, you know, maybe the peripheral nervous system is doing the processing rather than the central brain. The bit we do know is that the surface of most cephalopods are covered in lots of sensors. So they have lots of mechanosensors and lots of chemical sensors. And, you know, as it turns out, they have light sensors as well. So the opsin in the skin would also give them some information. And those sensory cells all feed back to these small ganglia, these conglomerations of neurons, and presumably do something. Now, I say presumably because we just don't know. You can trace them back there, but it's like figuring out a brain. We don't know how to even figure out, you know, all of the neurons in a fly brain, although that may be solved fairly soon. But how they all interact is going to be a much longer process. So this is sort of my task, the group of us task, is to start saying, well, of this information that's coming back from these sensors, how much may guide a behavior? So a recent study showed an octopus that if you have a severed octopus arm and you put on some ground up fish juice, for example, it will try and curl up and grasp this fish that's there somewhere. That automatically tells you that there's some peripheral sort of automation, if you like, of arm control in octopus. So there seems to be some, you know, peripheral control that's automatic. But this is a very crude experiment. This is sort of like, you know, what we did in the 50s with vertebrates. I mean, there was kind of, when you don't have all the fancy tools, you know, 50 and 60 and 80 years ago, you just try things. And, you know, we want to be more sophisticated, and that's kind of the idea of doing perception studies in cuttlefish. You know, can we get a bit of information without doing anything to the animal? But ultimately, we have to do electrophysiology, which is basically recording the neural activity while the animal's doing some behavior. And with that, we can then, you know, correlate activity with behavior, and then we can start to figure out what are the neural circuits that define the behavior.